Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, you have a cordial invitation to stick around. The Flatline is designed to remind you of biblical truths and introduce you to a new way of studying and a new way of learning God's Word. I do this all with no manipulation, no solicitation, no sort of asking for money, nothing like that. It's just 30 minutes of education, motivation, and inspiration. That's my job. Verify and identify God's plan for you, and hopefully, you will orient and adjust to the plan. So the FLOT line is about changing the way you think. FLOT, F-L-O-T, stands for the Forward Line of Troops. That's a military term, and we're talking about you having a forward line of troops. Invisibly speaking, it's a metaphor, but in your soul, a forward line of troops in your soul made up of God's problem-solving devices. Specifically, 10 unique problem-solving devices. When you learn these problem-solving devices and use them, then you will be able to stop the outside source of adversity from ever becoming the inside source of stress. You know, and I know, that adversity is inevitable, but you may not know that stress is optional. Because adversity is what those circumstances do to you, and stress, well, that's what you do to yourself. So by learning God's Word, using God's Word, using one of the 10 problem-solving devices, the one called a faith rest drill, then we're able to have a tremendously relaxed mental attitude in spite of whatever we may face. If we use rebound, the problem-solving device number one, then we learn how to confess our sin when we commit sin, because we know that sin quenches and grieves the Holy Spirit of God. And a Christian cannot live the Christian life with the Holy Spirit grieved or quenched in his life. I've often told people, if you want to find out what kind of friend you have or pastor you have, ask him a question. How do I live the Christian life? If he does not tell you, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to do it. You have to have the filling of the Holy Spirit and the combination of the Word of God. Those two things together give you balance of residency in your soul. If he doesn't tell you that, if he tells you, be good, be nice, be sweet, don't drink, don't smoke, don't cuss, well, that's not how you live the Christian life. Those may be things Christians do, but that's not how you live the Christian life. We teach all of that on the FLOT line, and if you've listened long enough, you've heard me go over it and over it and over it, and we'll keep going over it. So the rebound technique guarantees the filling of the Holy Spirit, problem-solving device number two, and that deals with the sin nature, how we keep the old sin nature from controlling our lives. Using the faith rest drill, that's dealing with the Word of God and how we stand firm in the promises of God. And then grace orientation, where we live by grace, die by grace, and expect surpassing grace in heaven. And biblical orientation, where we do what the Bible says, study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And all of this gives us a personal sense of destiny. That destiny that we know what God designed us to be, what God designed us to do. And that's motivated by our personal love for God, the greatest virtue you could ever have in your life. Virtue love, your personal love for God, is the greatest virtue you could ever have. Impersonal love for all mankind is another problem-solving device, because that lets you love jerks, weirdos, obnoxious people. People you're not supposed to be able to love, but you love them based on your character, not theirs. And then sharing the happiness of God, the joy that the Lord Jesus Christ passed on to those disciples. And then eventually being occupied with Christ, tremendous problem-solving device. Those are 10 problem-solving devices. We have them on a bookmark. If you'd like one, contact us. We'll send it to you. And we have them in a book, Christian Problem Solving. We can send that to you as well, free of charge. Everything on this show, free of charge. We do not raise money. We don't solicit funds. We don't sell anything. It's free, free, free. God gave it to you free, and you give it away free. So today, if you will let me, I want to move into a different area. I want to talk about being an influencer. An influencer. Some of you are seated today in your home in various cities across this country. You've written to me. You've contacted me through the internet, emails, personal letters, and I want you to understand what it means to be an influencer. You know, these times in our country are very historical. Medical emergencies, civil unrest, as well as meltdown of divine institutions. And do you remember what the divine institutions are? Freedom, marriage, family, and nationalism, those four things. Freedom, marriage, family, and nationalism. So when we begin to break down those divine institutions, we begin to break down the rule of law when protesters can assault people and not be arrested. Well, these are times that are historical. The attitude in America is shifting. The whole concept of what America is and freedom is being challenged today. Can you actually do anything about it? You're one person. You may be one person sitting alone in a home in Colorado. You may be one person alone in Maryland. You may be one person alone in California, Texas, or Mississippi. Can you do anything about it? Yes. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9, 14, and 15, there was a little city and a few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and he besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. And there was found in that city a poor, wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the entire city. And yet no man remembered that same poor man. One man delivered a city with wisdom. Wisdom is the most amazing thing that you could have because it gives you insight and discernment. The only way you can acquire any wisdom is to get some understanding. And when you get understanding from the Word of God and convert gnosis into epinosis, let me use those big words. Gnosis is the Greek word knowledge and epinosis is the Greek word full knowledge. What we have to learn in the Bible is not just hear it, but apply it. Hear it is gnosis, apply it is epinosis. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, happiness belongs to the people who hear my Father's word and keep it. Hear it and apply it. So if you want wisdom, it's found in the Bible. I suggest you read Proverbs. My own pastor has been teaching a phenomenal study in Proverbs. Absolutely unbelievable, practical, divine wisdom in your life every day. So this man had practical divine wisdom and he delivered the city. This verse can apply to you in this day, the day of doubt and about the future, the day of confusion about what's going on in the election year. Ecclesiastes 9:17, again, the word of the wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Now, you and I both know that negative volition, put a minus V, negative volition, rejects wisdom. Negative volition wants nothing to do with biblical wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. What is a fool? It's an arrogant, self-righteous individual. Artificially intelligent, AI, artificial intelligence, is the fool. He thinks he's smart as God or smarter than God, and he rejects God's word. He's not interested in the wisdom of the word of God, and as a result, he destroys his life. So negative volition is not interested in learning any wisdom. You're not going to be able to reach everybody. You're not going to be able to influence everybody in your field of influence, but you will influence. Just because no one listens, it does not mean you should never speak. I mean, go back and ask Noah. According to Genesis 6:3, God gave a warning about the length of days that man would live. He said, my spirit will not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. Now, we know it took many years to build the ark, and we know that no one entered it but he and his family. That's Noah and his family. But he warned them every day, there's a flood coming, there's a flood coming. I'm building a boat, you can get on the boat, you can get in the ark. No one got on. They all laughed at him. They all made fun of him until the flood started. And then when everybody tried to rush the boat to get in, God slammed the door shut. Your assignment, wherever you may be this morning, is a modern-day Noah, and you are to warn of God's coming judgment. How do you do that? By lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ, since the cross is a magnet for sinners. The cross is a magnet for sinners. He said in John 12:32, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Yes, if you lift up the work of Christ and the redemptive work that he did on the cross, it's attractive. Magnets attract, and we know magnets can repel. You remember having two magnets and trying to put them together, and they would repel each other and push each other away sometime. But positive volition, a positive V, a plus plus a V, positive volition is attracted to the magnet. And negative volition is repelled from the magnet. Either way, positive or negative, when you influence your periphery, your field of influence, someone you know, at least the justice of God will be vindicated, since the love of God provided redemption for that individual. You know, influencer today is a big word, and you may not be aware of what we call social media influencers. I call them cosmic influencers. Social media influencers is a user on a social media platform who's established credibility in a specific industry. The social media influencer has access to large audiences and can actually persuade others by virtue of their authenticity and their outreach. The average social media influencer can take home anywhere from $30,000 to $100,000 per year, that's the average person, by promoting products like clothing or food or hotels, even vitamin supplements, if they do it on their media, social media web pages. Users that have more than 1 million followers can make up to $100,000 or even $250,000 per sponsored post, according to a recent survey of Vox, V-O-X. And you might not know what Vox is. It's an American news and opinion website owned by Vox Media. Let me give you some examples of a social media influencer. Kylie Jenner, 22 years old, Kylie Jenner can make more than $1 million per sponsored Instagram post when she does that. Cristiano Ronaldo, 35-year-old Portuguese soccer star, makes $975,000 for each sponsored Instagram post. Kim Kardashian, who married Kanye West, makes $910,000 for every sponsored Instagram post. Kanye West, her husband, is a media star himself, winning 21 Grammy Awards, and he's a professed Christian who hosts a YouTube channel and has over 1 million subscribers himself. There's a young man who's 8 years old, Ryan Kaji, K-A-J-I, 8 years old, and he remains YouTube's highest earner, and in 2019, as a social media influencer, an 8-year-old boy made $26 million. His influence is in the toy industry, and he has his own Ryan's World channel on YouTube, and there are over 25 million people subscribed to those videos, and they have been viewed over 30 billion times. These insane numbers show you the reach of these influencers, and most of it's on the cell phone. I mean, look at the mass crowds on television during a protest, and you'll see almost all of them have cell phones, and they're trying to record events as they unfold, sending texts back and forth, where to meet, what to do, and so forth, coordinating the next rally point, all by cell phone. And by the way, all hoping to capture something spectacular so they can sell it to some TMZ or some other media giant and make a fortune. These social media influencers are nothing but cosmic recruiters. Cosmic recruiters. They try to influence the youth of their countries in matters of fashion, style, health, and, of course, politics. Listen, when there's no wisdom inculcated, the youth of a nation will fall for anything. And this describes the youth of the United States of America during the last four generations. There was a time when I started speaking in schools that I could speak in any school, anywhere, anytime, if they invited me. no longer today, because my message represents the Lord Jesus Christ. I still speak in many, many schools, but they are private academies. They're not necessarily Christian schools, but they're sure not public schools, because as soon as a public school finds out you're going to mention Jesus, nope, out the door you go. So we have four generations of young people that have no wisdom. There's no counter to the cosmic system lies and the cosmic system deceptions. What's the cosmic system? That's human viewpoint thinking that Satan spawns. So today we see a generation of radicals, a generation of anarchists spawned from previous generations. And you know what else you get? You get what we call cosmic robocalls. I bet you get a cell phone robocall. You probably, like me, get four or five a day. They come daily trying to influence and divert attention from the real issue of the decaying nation. And a lot of people are manipulated by these venues. Next time you get a robocall, just answer it and say, "Sheriff's Department, Fraud Division," and most of the time they'll hang up. These cosmic robocalls, every day you'll get them trying to sell you a warranty or trying to do this, trying to do that. And on the Internet, you have something called clickbait. You say, what is that? It's a social media influencer. The content of the post is designed to attract attention and encourage you to click on that particular website. It's a form of false advertisement. The best bait that you can give, the best bait I have, and I'm a good fisherman, I have a lot of baits, but the best bait that I have is the good news. My sins have been paid for. Jesus Christ forgave me. I'm going to heaven. Forgiveness is available through faith in Christ. He is the anointed Son of God. That is the best bait anyone could ever hear. Your job as a spiritual influencer, not a social media influencer, a spiritual influencer. Your job, number one, is not to be a role model. You're not designed to be a role model. I mean, there are a lot of people who establish dependency as a role model, and they often get worshipped by impressionable and misguided children. But the role model has to be, without a doubt, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 2:21 and 22, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps." There's your role model. "He committed no sin, neither was there deceit found in his mouth." That's the role model we need. Hopefully we've all learned what it means to be a member of the Pivot. I've talked about it a lot on this show. That's the group of mature believers that deliver a nation in time of trouble. The Pivot, the core group of mature believers that deliver a nation in time of trouble. Remember, Gideon had only 300 soldiers that God could use, but they delivered him from 65,000 frenzied Midianites. God doesn't need a lot. He just needs one man with wisdom. I read you that verse. And hopefully, you're the man. You're the lady. Those who use civil unrest and social media as a means to promote their agenda all have one thing in common: social justice and reform. That's the hidden objective of Satan. And it's always been to eliminate the claims of Jesus Christ. And I can assure you the devil, a.k.a. Satan, will stop at nothing to complete his desired will. And he will use diversion and deception to advance his plan. The hidden objective of Satan through all of this social media influence is to shut down the message of Jesus Christ. The only thing that's true, the only thing that's lasting, the only thing that is real reform is redemption and reconciliation. We are redeemed out of the slave market of sin, and we are reconciled to our relationship with God through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. But you know, an anarchist is not interested in the claims of the Bible. Rather, just the claims of humanism or progressivism, even communism. That's what they want to achieve their desired state, since they have this cosmic influence in their life. Since you're here now, growing in grace, you and I, we must understand our calling, which is to have an impact in our very own field of influence. Our very own field of influence, and we have an impact for Christ. Let me say it again. You and I are here. We're growing in grace, and we must understand our calling, which is to have an impact in our field of influence for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I don't have a field of influence. I don't buy that. Take a look around you and decide for yourself, what is your field of influence? Maybe you're influencing a lot of people. Maybe you're influencing a few people. Maybe one or two. But when the young man led me to Christ, he had no idea what he was doing. When a young man from South Africa took me into the bedroom of a friend's house and got on his knees and prayed with me, and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me, he had no idea what my life would turn out to be. And you have no idea the people you talk to, what could happen in their lives. So, the only true and lasting reform is redemption and reconciliation. So, you have to understand this. What is your field of influence? You know, the greatest influencers of all time went from being commoners to criminals. As a matter of fact, in the end, most of them were murdered and suffered a martyr's death. And could be your future as well, I hate to tell you, but it could be. Who am I talking about, these great influencers? Well, I'm talking about the disciples who went from being blue-collar fishermen to royalty as New Testament apostles. They had no idea that they were going to write a Bible. They had no idea what God was going to do with their life. They just answered the call when Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." There was something so dynamic, something so intriguing, something so alluring about the Lord Jesus Christ. When they looked upon him, they could not help but follow him. And their mission was found in Matthew 28:19-20. It was called the Great Commission. Go into all the world. So here's the principle for you. The spiritual influencer, that's you. You, wherever you may be, in your city, in your family, in your home, the spiritual influencer must be prepared for conflict. Conflict is going to come. Conflict. Could be family conflict. Could be religious conflict. It could be social conflict. But listen to what the Bible says about this in Matthew 10:21-22. "And brother shall deliver up brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated by all men because of my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be delivered." People of conviction, like you, like me, are not tolerated. And you are pressured to give in and capitulate. You're pressured not to say anything. You're pressured just to let it slide. You're pressured just to go your own way. You're being manipulated. You don't even know it. In Matthew 10:34, Jesus said, "Don't think I came to bring peace on earth. I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemy shall be the members of his own household." Here's a sad principle. Your children may reject your wisdom as they get sucked into the lie of the cosmic system. If they have no biblical wisdom, then they will have no insight, no discernment to deter them from the truth. They won't be able to determine the truth, is what I'm trying to say. So, you know, it's sad, but the older you get, the dumber they think you are. You know, they used to love you. They used to listen to you. Now they're 40 and you're 70 and they think you're stupid. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, our Lord gave instructions to these 12 apostles that they were to evangelize the lost sheep of the house of Israel, saying the kingdom was at hand. And in Matthew, the Bible goes on to say in Matthew 10, these 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, where he said, "Don't go in the way of the Gentiles and don't enter into any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And he told them who to go speak to and what to say. They were instructed not to raise money for their mission trip, but to depend on God's people to supply their needs. That's what we do here. We never ask for money. No missionary should ever ask anybody for money. And two, he warned them about opposition and instructed them to be as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove. Wise in avoiding danger and harmless in not openly opposing the enemy. In Matthew 10:16, "I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore be as shrewd as a snake and as innocent as a dove." That means the missionary must stay out of politics. That's not your field of influence. Stay out of politics. Your field of influence is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he warned them about the canine clergy. Look out, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. And the missionary, you and I, we must understand the biggest threat to the gospel message is organized religion. The Lord Jesus Christ alerted them to the vicious name-calling and slander they were going to face in their lives. That's the cosmic system tactics of taunting them. This is what he said in Matthew 10:25. If they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign the members of the household? So he instructed them to eliminate all fear. Get rid of your fear, he said. Matthew 10:26. Don't be afraid of them. Don't fear them who can kill your body, but are unable to kill the soul. All this is necessary for you to understand. If you to apply, if you have any hope of being a spiritual influencer in a dying nation such as the United States of America today. And 1 Peter 3, who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you will be blessed. So do not fear their intimidation and do not be troubled. In Matthew 5, happy are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven will be great. I want you to be a media influencer, not a social media influencer, but an influencer in your own field of influence, in your family, in your nation. You can be an invisible hero. You can have a historical impact. You can have an invisible impact. So many things you can do by being an influencer for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about this a lot more in the future. I hope you'll come back next week, same time, same place, and we can provide this for you in transcript or on CD.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around. We won't hassle you or anything, just some inspiration, some motivation, some education, always done without any type of manipulation. The show is about helping you to verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if I can do that, then you always have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan should you decide to do so. But we always teach about the flat line, the forward line of troops, the main line of resistance in your soul, made up of those 10 wonderful problem-solving devices, beginning with this problem-solving device of rebound. And that's when we confess our known sins to God, 1 John 1:9, then the filling of the Holy Spirit, and Ephesians 5:18, where we're mandated to be filled with the Spirit, using the faith rest drill, and that's where we're mandated to grow by faith and live by faith, grace orientation, biblical orientation, having a personal sense of destiny, developing personal love for God and impersonal love for others, sharing the happiness of God, and being occupied with Christ. We've taught extensively on all 10 of these unique problem-solving devices, and we have a book about it. It's free. It's never anything on this show. It's never charged for not one thing. So if you'd like to have the book, just contact us. We'll send you the book, Christian Problem Solving. All 10 of them are listed there. And we can also include a problem-solving bookmarker that helps you put it in your Bible, keep your place in your Bible if you need it. But many years ago, when I accepted Christ as my Savior, I had a lot of questions. I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't have any church background, so I had a lot of questions. And as I grew, I sought the Lord's direction in my life and talked to several influential men who tried to direct me into their way of thinking, and it didn't work. They just couldn't make me into the person they wanted to make me into. They tried to make me into something I was not. And that's what organized religion will do for you. They'll try to make you into something you're not, where you'll run around and talk like you would not normally talk or act like you would not normally act. You have to put on a routine. That's not what being a Christian is. Eventually, the Holy Spirit of God directed me to a really wonderful pastor, a well-qualified pastor. He was a no-nonsense type of guy who reminded me of my college football coach at Alabama, Coach Paul Bear Bryant. Tough guy, Bear Bryant was, and so was this pastor, but fair, both of them were. And both of them were the best in the land, I promise you. So I stuck with this pastor, and I knew he would lead me correctly, and he did, from 1968, even still to this day. He's been gone a long time now. He's with the Lord, but I still have all the access to his information that he taught. So this is what I always hope to do for you, to direct you to that sort of pastor, the man for you. And so you can get under him, and his job will be to teach you and make you rich in God's Word. And with that spiritual wealth, you'll be dangerous to the enemy. But you'll be equipped to see his scams, his temptations, and the ways that he seeks to ruin your life. So you've listened to me talk about this many times, and I want to direct a show to it today. What is a well-qualified pastor? The need for you to have a well-qualified pastor. I get notes from people saying, I live in this city, and I've heard you talk about that. Where is a well-qualified pastor in my city? And so many times I say, I don't know. I'm not familiar with your city. I'm not familiar with your churches, but I'll direct them to someone that I know that will make information available to them free of charge. But the reason is that so many men in the pulpit today are not actually teaching their flock. So many men are not actually teaching their flock. And organized religion today has moved into, it seems to be, some sort of entertainment, motivational, inspirational type messages. If I quote Randall J. Stevens of Culture and Entertainment Religion in America, he said this. Randall J. Stevens, Culture and Entertainment and Religion in America. He said, in the late 20th and early 21st century, combinations of religion and entertainment included Muslim rap music, Christian rock music, Jewish folk music, and much more. And a great deal of this innovation coincided with the rise of the performance-driven megachurch and the proliferation of religious organizations that catered to athletes and drew on sports imagery and symbolism for their causes. The need for more teaching and less preaching. So preaching without solid teaching leads to emotional response, but we don't want to have strict intellectualism as well. So you've heard me talk about this. You've heard me talk about the need for solid, sound, biblical Bible teaching. And you may have heard me quote Jeremiah 9:24, where the Bible says, let him who boasts about this, that he understands me and knows me, and that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things, says the Lord. And I have told you there's a difference between knowing God and understanding God. I hope you realize that. Because your salvation is based on knowing God through the work of His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But your spiritual life, that's the second stage here, is based on understanding God or learning the principles and the provisions He's provided for you so that you can begin to replicate the thinking of Christ. That's what Philippians 2:5 tells you. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Or Romans 12:3, stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance beyond what you should think, but think in terms of humility as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from His Word. So let me give you some principles about well-qualified pastors and what you should look for. A well-qualified pastor, first of all, will understand God's protocol plan. That means that a right thing has to be done in a right way. Because a right thing done in a wrong way is still wrong. And a wrong thing done in a right way is wrong. So what is a right thing in a right way? Well, it means that if you're going to pray, for example, you cannot pray with known sin in your life because your prayer won't be answered. How do I get to that? Because the Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The only prayer God's going to hear from a sinner to begin with is the prayer of salvation. Lord Jesus, you know, I want to be saved. I believe you died for me. I accept you as my Savior. That's a prayer that'll always be heard. But as a Christian, when you come to the Father and you pray and you have unconfessed sin in your life, the Holy Spirit is quenched and the Holy Spirit is grieved and He cannot do His job, because the Bible says His job is to intercede for us in prayer. He can't do it if he's quenched in greed because of our sin. So you have to understand that. Understanding God, understanding his plan, understanding the protocol plan of God. A well-qualified pastor, point one, will teach you how you cannot allow yourself to do right things in a wrong way. Because those right things done in a wrong way, like tithing or going to church, all good things to do, but they can wind up being human good and burned up at the judgment seat of Christ if you do them in the wrong way. There's nothing wrong with giving to your church. There's nothing wrong with singing in the choir. There's nothing wrong with going on a mission trip. There's nothing wrong with witnessing. All of these things God expects out of you, but you can do them in the wrong way, and they wind up being human good. Energy of the flesh, and that's when you quench the Holy Spirit and do these things with known sin in your life. A well-qualified pastor will warn you about that. He'll teach you the protocol plan of God. He may not call it that. Just as I was speaking with a new friend last week, I'll tell you anything you haven't heard before, but I may put it in a way you've never heard it put before. And that's my objective, to make you think. So a well-qualified pastor will help you understand God's protocol plan. Two, a well-qualified pastor can teach exegetically or topically. The question is, do you know the difference? Exegetically is line upon line, word upon word. I mean, as it goes, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So you would start out with theos, ho theos, cosmos, the God, agapao, so loved the cosmos, the world. He'll break it down line upon line. And then you can develop the doctrine of God, the doctrine of the world, the doctrine of love, and maybe spend 10 hours on each one of those. So exegetically, studying line upon line, we call it the ICE technique, categorical, exegetically, and eisegetically. These are all big words I had to learn. Don't faint. I had to learn them too. But topically, a person can teach topically, maybe on a sin. Maybe some pastor is going to teach on some specific sin or some specific topic, and that's a topical sermon. But the sermons that help us to grow are the ones that are exegetically taught, where we go line by line, word by word, verse by verse. And a well-qualified pastor will have a working knowledge of the original languages, point three. He might not be an expert in Greek and Hebrew, but at least he knows how to go back to the languages, find out what the word meant then. See, that's part of the exegesis, I-C-E, eisegetics, categorical exegesis. Go back to the word love, for example. When we say, I love you, if the Bible says, if you love me, you'll do this. If you love me, you'll do that. There are four words for love in the Greek New Testament, and it depends on which word it is. It's always translated love in the English every time. And a well-qualified pastor can tell you the different words, agapao, phileo, stokeo, erao, what word is actually in this passage. So, number four, a well-qualified pastor does not need to know everybody's name in the congregation, but he must feed that congregation and protect each member from the sheep, each member of his congregation from the wolves, protect the sheep from the wolves that come around. Nothing worse than religious, self-righteous wolves that want to devour some congregation. Five, the pastor must be motivated by personal love for God. It's problem-solving device number seven, personal love for God. That's a great virtue in a person's life. So he needs to be motivated by his personal love for God. And if you are motivated by love of people, then you'll never make it, because your motivation doesn't come from people. It might be good to be motivated by people in some areas, but not for some pastor in the ministry. He must not be motivated by anybody in his congregation, even though he'll have great friends, great rapport. It's his personal love for God that motivates him. And the reason is because it's discouraging to watch people you know fall asleep while you're teaching or advance slowly when other people are getting the point and growing quickly. So the pastor has to be motivated by his love for the Lord Jesus Christ, not for individual members of the congregation. And point six, Most male believers with the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher are neither brilliant individuals nor even original thinkers. And, quite frankly, as a pastor, they're not required to be. They're not required to be geniuses. But they are required to be faithful in the principle of studying and teaching and studying and teaching. 2 Timothy 2:5, Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God. 2:15, excuse me. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And so any well-qualified pastor must be a serious student of the Word of God. When I do a radio show like I'm doing for you now, it takes me hours to put a 30-minute message together. When I'm doing a Bible conference in a church and maybe I'm speaking for 4 hours, I may spend 50 to 70 hours just putting it together. You can't just get up in the pulpit and wing it. You have to have research. You have to dig in. You have to follow the leads of Scripture and see where it takes you. And no pastor can be a well-qualified pastor without serious study of the Word of God on a consistent basis in his life every day. You see, none of us can read the Bible and attain spiritual maturity on our own. The Bible we have is our textbook. But the gift of pastor-teacher is designed to communicate the specifics of that textbook, the specifics of the what we call the mystery doctrine of the church. This is what causes spiritual growth in our lives. So the Word of God must be learned under the authority of a well-qualified pastor, and that authority is vested in a spiritual gift God gives him at the moment of salvation, the gift of pastor-teacher. There are a lot of guys that have the gift of pastor-teacher that never use it. I was given the gift of evangelism when I got saved. I didn't know it. It took me a while to figure out what was going on in my life, but you have a spiritual gift too. You and I both have spiritual gifts. And it's a shame when we don't use our spiritual gift. And so many times Satan's able to distract men from ever going into the ministry, getting them distracted into various things. I think about one person in particular who told me, I've got the gift of pastor-teacher, and I'm going to study and prepare and be a good pastor. Well, not so. Married, kids, and into a big hobby, and that's the end of that. So it's very easy to get distracted. But pastor-teacher is a spiritual gift provided by God the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation for certain male believers only, not females. Male believers only. You might not like that, but that's the best I understand. It is a gift to men only, and it's found in all kinds of personalities. But never try to associate the gift of pastor-teacher with certain kinds of personalities. Don't say, well, he's a good pastor because he's sweet, or he's a good pastor because he's friendly, or because he's kind. You know, this person may be that sort of personality. That doesn't make him a good pastor. What makes him a good pastor is not that he's your friend and likes to hang out with you, but that he can separate from you and study hours every day and get up in that pulpit and teach you God's Word correctly, line upon line, word upon word, prefix upon prefix. That's important. So, the demand for Bible-teaching pastors in a country such as ours will diminish when apostasy comes up. People are less interested in studying the Bible. A lot of people today are more interested in politics than in the Bible, and it's a big distraction for a lot of Christians. But the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, a well-qualified pastor, is definitely an appointed vehicle for the communication of the mystery doctrine of the church age to every believer priest like you and me. The mystery doctrine of the church, Christ in us, the hope of glory. No one ever thought that the Shekinah glory of the Old Testament would come and live inside of them. But here he is, Christ living in us, and we're being taught by the Word of God through well-qualified pastors what that means and how we live that life. So the word in the New Testament, when you go look it up, it's the word poimen kai didaskalos, pastor and teacher, shepherd and teacher, communicator. And it is just one word. It's not two different gifts. It's one gift because it's only got one definite article in front of it. It's not the pastor and the teacher. It's the pastor and teacher. One gift. And his gift is to shepherd his flock and feed his flock. But no pastor can teach when he doesn't know himself. Therefore, no pastor can lead his congregation to spiritual adulthood without providing the basis for post-salvation epistemological rehabilitation. Wow, big word. I'm going to say that again. I had to learn it. You need to learn it. No pastor can lead his congregation to spiritual adulthood, which is what he's supposed to do, without providing the basis for post-salvation, that's after you get saved, epistemological rehabilitation, that's you learning Scripture, 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 which means you have a consistent perception and a consistent application of the Word of God in your soul. So if you have a pastor who's not a mature believer, how can he take you to maturity? He can only take you as far as he's been. And it's critical that if you sit under a pastor, he be a mature believer, that he have a working knowledge of the languages, that he be able to teach you clearly what the Word says. We're going on into more of this here in a minute, but he can't take you any further than he's been himself. Understand that. He can't lead you where he hasn't been himself. So the size of his congregation is not in any way indicative of any success or any failure on his part, because the only person that really knows what's going on in his life is God himself. He knows. And God knows whether that pastor's success or whether he's a failure. And I don't care if he's got 20, if he's got 50, if he's got 5,000. If he's not studying and he's not teaching, he's not a well-qualified pastor. A well-qualified pastor is not a cruise ship director. He's not a person that always keeps things stirred up and going so everybody's happy and have fun and do a lot of great things in the Christian community. He's a man that stands in the pulpit, studying, 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 and teaching, teaching, teaching. And I will say more than 30 minutes at a time. You're not going to learn 30 minutes at a time. 30 minutes on Sunday morning, 30 minutes on Sunday night, 30 minutes on Wednesday night. That's an hour and a half a week. How can you ever send some kid to the first grade for an hour and a half a week and expect them to get out of the first grade? It'll never happen. You are the same way. You've got to grow. You must take in God's Word daily, and not necessarily with your little morning devotion where you say, well, I got this book out and I read this little 5-minute devotion and I'm growing. No, you're not. You're trying to be inspired to behave that day, but that's not growing. You grow when you sit down, be quiet, get a notebook, get a Bible, and listen to someone expound the Scriptures line upon line, word upon word. Write down the whole thing. That's how you grow. That's exactly what I've been able to do in my life with my pastor. Listen daily, like an hour every day. An hour every day, listen to the teaching of the Word of God. The size of the congregation doesn't matter, but there are only two communication gifts that are working today. No apostles, no prophets, but there are pastor teachers and there are evangelists. And I are not a pastor teacher. I are an evangelist. Pardon my French, but that's me. I'm an evangelist. My job is to communicate the gospel outside of the local church and to locate positive volition like you and point you in the direction where you can grow spiritually. So evangelism is really a spiritual gift of communication designed to reach unbelievers. And someone like me, I don't have any authority in a local church. It's not my job to tell the church how to be run. I'm outside the church. The gift of pastor teacher is designed to communicate the mystery doctrines of the church and to those who are in the church, okay? And these gifts are distributed at salvation. Now, I've been able to identify a few different types of pastors. One of them we call a cosmic pastor. What is that? Cosmos Diabolicus, the devil's world. This is a guy who's distracted by some form of works, trying to get you involved in crusades, get you involved in social action, get you involved in politics. He may be a very moral and a very arrogant and very self-righteous individual, ignorant of God's plan and no working knowledge of the Word of God. I mean, you want to find out what kind of pastor you got? Go sit down with him and say, tell me how to be a good Christian. Just ask him that one question. Tell me how to be a good Christian. If he doesn't tell you, you can't be a good Christian without understanding the filling of the Holy Spirit, then he doesn't understand the Christian life. If he tells you that you need to be good and confess your sins and tithe and you need to not cuss and not smoke and not drink, That's not a good pastor. A good pastor understands the mechanics of spirituality. You can never be a good Christian until you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and you can never be a good Christian until you grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So a cosmic pastor is the wrong kind of pastor. Then there's the baby pastor, or what I call the immature pastor, who never really learned much doctrine in his life. He spent most of his time in the pulpit of his church, evangelizing his own congregation every Sunday, giving a salvation message every Sunday, giving moral lectures every Sunday, speaking against certain taboos every Sunday, and he enjoys being a high-profile personality. And then there's the adolescent pastor. This pastor can teach some truth, but he's distracted by various forms of celebrityship, being a high profile, being the man of the hour. And what he's liable to do is sell his own personality rather than the teaching of the congregation. So he'll visit all the sick people, call on all the members of the congregation, conduct programs, and he doesn't have time to study. He doesn't have time to prepare. And he has an ambition that usually means I want to leave this church and go to a bigger church as soon as somebody calls me. But the mature pastor, through his faithful Bible teaching and personal study, he avoids those sorts of distractions, and he prepares academically and teaches exegetically, not just topically, to his congregation, and he will watch them shrink at first, I promise you, because people will go searching for someone that will glad hand them. But if he'll be faithful, if he'll teach, they'll come and they'll listen. What's the results of sitting under a well-qualified pastor? Well, you're fed Bible doctrine accurately and consistently. Nehemiah 8:6-8, then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen and Amen, while lifting up their hands, they bowed low and they worshiped. And then the Levites taught them, and listen to what this says. The Levites explained the law to the people while the people remained in their place. They read from the book, from the laws of God, translating to give the sense so they understood the meaning. That's what the pastor has to do. He has to translate the passage and give the sense so you understand what it means. You develop consistent patterns of spiritual growth when you have that daily instruction, 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You'll renovate your thinking, as in Romans 12:3, stop thinking of self in terms of arrogance beyond what you should. When you're sitting under this sort of pastor, you become armed for the conflict. You put on the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. You become an effective communicator of the gospel, representing the Lord Jesus Christ, and you develop the ability to see through Satan's smoke screen of cosmic lies. So only divine truth can advance you, while the arrogance of ignorance hinders you from ever fulfilling God's plan. Therefore, arrogantly ignorant, we call it AI, artificial intelligence, is any system of thought which hinders you from fulfilling the plan of God or advancing in the plan of God. God honors His Word, and the believer who learns His Word and applies it to his life will be glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 5:5, God makes war against the arrogant, artificial intelligence, but He gives grace to the humble, that's you. Therefore, humble yourselves under the powerful hand of God, that He may promote you at the right time. Do you have a well-qualified pastor? Are you sitting under the authority of a well-qualified pastor? Or are you involved in a showmanship church? If you are, be careful. Find somebody that will teach you the Word of God. Contact me if you need to. I'll help you in any way I can. But I hope you understand what I mean when I say a well-qualified pastor. Now, this is Rick Hughes, your host, here at the Flatline. Hope I haven't offended you, but I've made it clear. And I look forward to seeing you next week, same time, same place. Until then, thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a dental discount savings plan annual membership. The dental discount savings plan is simple, straightforward.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.